This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, staff writer of the Chicago Reader, who was on the phone with me. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Dave.
Today we're talking about your article that's titled Stacking the Odds in Favor of Charter Schools, and that appears in the Chicago Reader on April 14th, 2011. In this article, you compare a couple Northside high schools, one a charter and one a non-charter. I guess they're both considered public schools, aren't they?
A charter school is a publicly funded school, but it's not technically a public school, and therein lies so much of the difference.
Let's talk about one little difference you wrote about, and that is that charters can, quote, get rid of, unquote, whatever students they want to get rid of. But the principal with whom you spoke, who runs Pritzker College Prep, the charter school in your article, said, we don't kick kids out. They may choose to leave on their own. So my question is, do you believe that's true for that school and for other charters?
I believe that there are ways of getting kids to leave a school.
That's my question, though, that there are ways like, you know, charging them for flunking or charging them for detention and stuff like that. But do you think in general that charters are using those ways to get rid of kids?
See, that's the thing about a charter school. As the name implies, they have their own individual
charters.
And so each school pretty much is free to do what it wants so long as its charter is approved by the Board of Ed. So in some cases, charters, they have a whole list of rules that, if broken, will result in a student being removed from the school. An ordinary public school is under the overall expulsion rules of the Board of Education, and so it's not as free to remove students. It has to follow the guidelines of the Board of Education, and to a degree, it's out of their control. So I do think that charters exercise this right. I think that's at the heart of what makes a charter a charter.
Well, then that leads me to the issue of non-charter public schools, whom some see as a dumping ground. And it's something that one could infer from your article. It's a dumping ground for students who can't, for whatever reason, make it at a charter. And some say that the non-charter schools shouldn't have to put up with these students either. Some people say, well, you know, these so-called difficult children drag the other students down. And I'm wondering what you think about that.
Well, I think that it is unfair that a charter school be compared, as they are often compared, favorably compared to a traditional public school, even though a traditional public school has to take the students that the charter schools either kick out or force out, or the kids on their own decide it's not for them.
There's a whole other conversation we could have about the level playing ground in terms of comparing performance. But the question I'm interested in is, if charters have the ability to get rid of what you call low performing and what others may call just bad students, shouldn't the non-charter schools also have that ability so they can also create a, quote, better learning environment?
This is the issue that was raised to me by the defenders of the Noble Street charter schools. And they say, we wish the whole universe had our standards. Well, if the whole universe had your standards, then the kids who couldn't abide by your standards would just be kicked out on the street. To answer your question, no, I don't think schools should have that much freedom to kick kids out. And that's the problem. You want students to have a school that they can go to, and you want students to be getting an education. So if a student isn't willing to wear, you know, his shirt tucked in at all times and sit up straight at the desk and, you know, show up on time and incapable of doing all these things, dotting every I and crossing every T, should he be kicked into the street? And I don't think so. I think that there's a reason why we have public education. The doors are open to all. So are you saying that we should make all of these schools so stringent that your average ordinary kid can't survive in them? Well, then you have a lot more kids not getting an education. I don't know. Maybe that's where we're heading as a society, Dave.
Well, there's always the military.
Yeah, right. You can't hack it at a charter school, but the Army is your place. I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult question, and I don't think it's really – actually, I don't think charter school supporters who say, well, we wish all schools had our standards are being very realistic, because not all students can abide by your standards, or maybe your standards aren't fair. There's a sort of an arbitrariness to the standards in a charter school. Again, going back to that's what a charter school is all about. It gets to have an arbitrary standard. The point that I keep coming back to and the point I keep making is that it's hard to make any kind of overall judgments about the effectiveness of charter schools and the ineffectiveness of ordinary public schools when you compare one to the other, because they're not the same. I think that what's happening to a large degree in the sort of the larger public debate about where we are going with public education is that they are being treated as though they are the same, and that's inaccurate. That's what I was getting at when I talked in the story about how Mayor Daley dances to charter schools as a model that the public schools can follow, overlooking the fact that they have different rules and regulations, and the charters are in much more control of themselves than the regular public schools. They have much greater control over, you know, who they take in and who they let go.
One way that they perhaps might be becoming more similar, you invoke at the end of your article, in which you make two predictions. One is that charter school teachers, I'm guessing you're meaning teachers at most charters, will join unions. And the second prediction is that when they do, the city of Chicago and the Chicago business community will no longer back them. And the numbers show that unionization is already happening. According to a recent New York Times article, 12 of Chicago's 70-plus charters have unions. So are you saying that if teachers in some percentage of the total number of Chicago's charters get collective bargaining rights, charters will die in Chicago?
Well, I don't know about if they'll die.
They'll atrophy.
I don't think they'll be the fair-haired boys that they are now. There's a lot of issues at stake here. There's issues of protecting teachers when they're confronting principals and superintendents. There's issues of teachers' rights when they're faced with parents who are upset with them. There's issues of, like, measuring a teacher's value. How do you measure a teacher's value? Does a test score alone? What is a good objective measurement? Can such an objective measurement be determined? There's the issue of how much you pay a teacher relative to all the other teachers. So when teachers in charter schools begin to assert themselves the way teachers through a union do in the regular schools, I think many of their backers will turn on them, because a lot of what is happening here, in my opinion, is just an attempt to undercut teacher unions and to limit the amount of money teachers get. I think there's a lot of that that's at play.
So if they don't serve that purpose anymore, they won't have a purpose in that way of thinking.
Right. And then so, like, you could use a charter as a way of saying, see how effective a school can be when it's not unionized. What's going to happen, Dave, if the charter movement continues in Chicago at the current pace, within, I don't know how many years, the number of kids who are in a charter school where they're not guaranteed a union, where there's no collective bargaining rights, will approximate the number of kids who are in schools with unions. I think that the Noble Street School alone will have, according to their records, 10% of all the high school kids by, what was it, 2015 or 14, something like that.
That's a big chunk.
That's a surprisingly big chunk. So, yeah, I think that when teachers start asserting their rights to join unions and collectively bargain, then they're not so popular with the Tribune and the business community and mayors like Daley.
Well, we'll preserve that prediction for when it comes about. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.